Some of you are wondering why I'm here. That's why I'm here. The pastor was unavailable. So the sermon today is from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I've entitled it, Can't or Won't, With God's Help, I Will. As I was putting this together with footnotes and scriptures and devotionals and songs, and the Holy Spirit put on me the repetition of some certain words, and you pay attention to them as you hear them. In means a fixed position. When you hear if is a word of conditionality. It's conditional. It calls some action on our part. And then there's the word but. When you hear but, it's almost like the Holy Spirit giving you a little bit of an elbow. Pay attention, something important is coming. So when we have an important decision to make, we sometimes feel that we can't trust anyone, even God. But God knows what is best for us better than we know what we want or what we need. We must trust Him completely in everything. In every choice we make, we should not omit careful thinking or belittle our God-given ability to reason. But we should not trust our own ideas to the exclusion of all others. We must be wise in our own eyes. We must not be wise in our own eyes. But be willing. We need to be willing to listen to and be corrected by God's word and also wise counselors. Bring your decisions to God in prayer. Use the Bible as your guide and then follow God's leading and He will direct your paths by both guiding and protecting you. So to receive God's guidance, said Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, we must seek God's will in all that we do. This means turning every area of our life over to Him. And about 1,000 years later, Jesus emphasized these same truths in Matthew 6:23. Jesus told us, I will take care of all your needs if you live for me. If you make kingdom work a primary concern. Examine your values and your priorities. What is important to you? In what areas have you not acknowledged Him? Most of us acknowledge God in many areas of our lives, but there are areas where we attempt to restrict or ignore Him. And when we do, it will cause us disappointment and grief. Make Him a vital part of everything you do. Then you will be guided, and because you will be working and accomplishing His will and His purposes in your lives. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, this is from the Amplified Bible. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord. With all your hearts and minds, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Jesus says, strive to trust me. This is a process. Strive in more and more areas of your life. Anything that tends to make you anxious is a growth opportunity. Instead of running away from challenges, if you remember last week's scripture, somebody ran away, we're told not to run away from the challenges. Embrace them, eager to gain all the blessings I have hidden in the difficulties. And if you believe that I am sovereign over every aspect of your life, it is possible for you to trust me in all situations. Don't waste energy regretting the way things are or thinking about what might have been. Start at the present moment, accepting things exactly as they are. Start at that moment and search for my ways in the midst of those circumstances. Now, I don't know about anybody out there, but I know personally I've noticed this because I just went through it myself. When you're in a supermarket, there's people leaning on carts. There's people using walkers and canes, crutches, walking sticks. If we categorize them, they could all be called a staff. Something you use to lean on for support. Trust is like a spiritual staff. You can lean on trust as you journey uphill with me, if you are trusting me consistently. The staff will bear as much of your weight as needed. Lean on, trust, be confident in me with all your heart and with all your mind. Don't say can't or won't. Say, with God's help, I will. Recognize his voice. Whose voice? The shepherd with the staff. That staff, that spiritual help that we all need. John 10:27 tells us, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. The only sheep that disagree with that are the lost sheep. They're the ones constantly crying, nah, nah. I personally have never heard the voice of the Lord audibly. But the Lord has spoken to me many times throughout my life. You might ask, how can someone recognize his voice? First of all, to recognize the voice of the Lord, you must belong to him. My wife never had to identify herself when she called me on the phone. When I picked up the phone and heard her voice, I never had to ask who it was. I never had to ask my children to identify themselves when they phoned. See, when we recognize people that are dear to us, close to us, the people we communicate with, the people we have an intimate relationship with. Likewise, if we're communicating with the Lord Jesus through prayer, through his Bible, when we read, when we study, when we meditate on his word, our spirits will identify with his voice. Now, the Lord would not expect us to hear his voice if he didn't make it possible. I will give them hearts that recognize me as Lord. Jeremiah 24:7. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 7:23. Intimacy and connection is vital. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's our conversion experience. When we do that, the Bible tells us at that moment, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's no if. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not conditional. The question is, does the Spirit have us? In John 3:3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, being born of the Spirit is an unmistakable work of God. It's as mysterious as the wind. We don't see it. We feel it. We know it's there. It's as surprising as God himself. We do not know exactly where or when the intimacy begins. It's hidden away in the depths of our personal life. Being born again from above is a perennial, perpetual, and eternal beginning. It is a process of growing. The terminology is called our sanctification process. Now, I love that word perennial. Most of you who know me, one of my joys is my flower garden. And the perennial flower is my favorite. It comes up year after year after year. It's always there. It's like, remind me of prevenient grace. When we need it, it's there for us. So over the years, I'm going to guess 35, 40 years, I have some of these perennials in my yard. I've developed a relationship with my flowers. I love it. They don't talk back. So, perennial, perpetual, and eternal gives us an idea of the freshness involved of the born-again experience. It changes our thinking, our talking, and our living. It's a continual surprise of the life of God. Freshness, a good thing. Staleness, not so good. So how do we describe staleness in our spiritual life? The easiest way I came up with is, in life, until we see Jesus face to face, we're going to have this continual battle between our flesh and our spirit. When you're on the wrong side of that battle, that's being stale. In our life, we're going to be hearing voices, the world view and the biblical view. And if you're on the wrong side of that battle, you're going to become staleness. Stale. Staleness is an indication of something out of joint with God. I must do this thing or that thing or it's never going to get done. The flesh and the world fight for first place. We have a jealous God. He wants first place. He deserves first place. He bought and redeemed us. Are you freshly born this minute? Or are we getting stale, raking in our mind for something to do? Worldly, fleshly thoughts all the time. See, freshness does not come from obedience, but from the Holy Spirit himself. Obedience keeps us in the light of God as God is in the light. Guard jealously your relationship to God. Jesus prayed for us. He prayed this prayer that they, meaning me and you, may be one, even as we are one. The we is the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus himself. And you know there's no flesh, there's no world getting in between that relationship. Nothing in between. So keep all the life perennially open to Jesus Christ. Don't pretend with him. You cannot con God. Are you drawing your life from any other source rather than God himself? So if you're depending upon anything but him, you will never know when he's gone. Now, we can get into a whole theological discussion there, but I don't think the Holy Spirit ever leaves us. He will be vexed. What I mean by that is when we start losing that battle, when we start making the wrong choices, when we start ignoring the Holy Spirit, he gets vexed and we lose the influence because we're not listening, we're not paying attention. Now let me get back to that perennial flower. Over the years, I know when my flower needs water, when it needs food, when I gotta clip off the dead flowers or pull off the dead leaves, and when I pay attention, when I have that intimacy and that connection, that flower blossoms to the point where I get to dig some of it up and put it in other areas of my garden. Well, I can't do that anymore. I don't have any more room. So what I do now is I take those extra flowers, those perennials, and I give them to my friends and whoever wants them, and let their life blossom with some perennial things. Being born of the Spirit means much more than we generally take it to mean. It gives us a new vision. It keeps us absolutely fresh for everything by the perennial supply of the life of God within us. Sooner or later, we need to come to terms with this dilemma. I want to be frank with you. On second thought, I don't want to be Frank Sinatra. My song, I don't want it to be I did it my way. I want it to be I did it thy way, God's way. Sooner or later, we need to come to terms with that decision. God's way or my way? Wisdom recommends we learn to align ourselves with God's thoughts and God's ways. It's crucial not only to our growth as believers, but to fulfilling our Father's, what's the word I want to use? Adoption as children. Basically, we need to continue our spiritual growth not only within ourselves and let that perennial nature spread to be the light, to be the salt, to people around us. I need to teach myself to say yes. This seems like a good and sensible course of action on the surface, but what does the Father have to say? What's on his mind about this thing? What does his word say? What's the law of wisdom say? Is this the Holy Spirit's prompting? When I allow the Holy Spirit reign above my mind, it changes things. He gives you those nudges when you need them. And you go beyond the limits of human thinking into the sense and horizons of a holy hope. Don't say can't when you really mean won't. Don't pretend with the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, I got a call on Saturday around 11 or 12 o'clock from the pastor. He wasn't doing well. Asked me if I could preach the Sunday, the next day. Now, I've preached often. That wasn't my dilemma. My dilemma was I didn't have time to put it together. That was my dilemma. My flesh says, I won't. My mind says, I can't. I start talking to God. Hey, God, you know where I'm at. You know, my short-term memory is gone. Yeah. You told my wife to remind me that quite often. Why, just the other day, remember when I'm driving down 33, got pulled over by the officer by going too fast? He said, sir, why are you going so fast? My wife leaned over and says, officer, he's just trying to get to our destination before he forgets where we're going. Yeah. So my short-term memory, that's not an excuse. The Holy Spirit gave me a couple of these. I made them giggle a little bit, but that didn't change the fact. But I can tell you it was challenging, it was invigorating, it was fulfilling, it was satisfying. It's one of the most valuable spiritual lessons that you can ever get when you say yes to God. Now, I can do all things, you can do all things with Jesus, our shepherd, the one who holds the staff. I can't help but look up there, Bob Doney's painting. On the way out, you're going to see him up there with the sheep and the staff. It's going to give you a memory of what we're talking about here. But when you rely on the one with the staff, he will give you something to lean on, and the Holy Spirit will teach you how to trust. And if you do that, you will have a good day. And better yet, if you do that, you'll have a greater eternity. Amen.